Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you.
Shabub, shabub. I want to hear shabub, shabub, shabub. And I'll go. There we go. That's all I need. Shabub, shabub. Whirl, it's a jukebox. Spring Glen, New York, circa 1954. Long walks on dark roads with the other kids, flashlights, goblins. No fear of Islamofascism, they didn't exist. There was no past, there was no tomorrow, there was only the dark night.
I don't know if it's cloudy or bright.
Couldn't see through the dark of the Catskill Mountains. We touch each other and howl with delight out of fear and excitement. We get to the candy store with the pinball machine. We play it all night, drinking ice cream sodas. No fear of heart attacks then. None of the parents had gotten sick yet. Everyone was healthy and happy. No one got sick and died. There were no funerals. It was an eternal future. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the anti-American movie. Take me out to the failing newspapers. I turn it on. I'm getting sad. I'm getting more than I don't like the feeling of. I need an uplifting thing. Play Speedo. That's all. I don't feel good now. I got to go the other way. I'm getting down. I don't want to go down. I felt the elevator. I took the elevator into the basement. Put on Speedo, will you? I got to go up to the 80th floor. That's better. Friday night. There's a party tonight in someone's finished basement. Parents are away. We're going to raid the liquor cabinet. We're going to dance and break the tables. Oh, did I have fun as a kid? What happened to my life? What fun I used to have. God! God, if I could only be 12 again and know what I know.
Ooh.
I want to hear that last piece, then I'll do my job. Don't worry. There's one horn piece. Give me a break here. Here we go. We're getting close.
That's Mama Speedo. He don't never take it slow. Well, not he up to call me Speedo.
So good. What a cadence. There's a horn piece here. You got to hear this. Right out of St. Louis. Listen to this.
But my real name is there.
He's going to do the horn solo. Here it comes. Oh! Yeah! Listen to this. Right out of East St. Louis. But you got to understand jazz to understand how good this is. I don't care if the guy was ripped on heroin. It doesn't matter to me. What music? I don't care if he was coked out of his gourd. It doesn't matter to me. What music?
All
right, turn it off. Now I'm getting carried away. Too manicky. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Gotta close it down. Close it down. Bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it to the. Bring it to the man. Bring it to the man. You the man. You're the man. 1-800-449-8255. Los Angeles first caller. Lawrence, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Man, thank you so much for taking my call, Michael. You are an inspiration. You're absolutely revolutionary. Your ability to speak the truth and stand up to these scumbags that want to preach and want to make us believe and want to brainwash us. Thank God you're on the air. You're amazing. God bless you.
Well, they're working to take my advertisers away, and some of them have already capitulated to the Islamo-fascist Nazis. I got to tell you right now, if they get rid of me, America's free speech is finished. And you know what the most heartbreaking thing is here, Lawrence? That all the frauds in the media like Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, and the others, they're not coming to my aid. They're in it only for themselves. Don't believe a word about traditionalists. They're out for you. They're looking out for you. They're looking out for their own skin, and you know it.
Listen to me. Listen to me. We know this. This is why we need you on the air. Don't buy into this crap. Don't buy into these guys perpetuating the belief that everybody wants to get along with the Muslims. We saw what the Muslims did to us on 9/11. We saw how they murdered us, all right? We see what they're trying to do every day, sell us this.
Well, you know, it's not the Muslims, though, Lawrence. It's the Islamists. It's the radical Muslims. The rest of them are peace-loving. They're just like your grandmother in the church.
Whatever. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, anyway, all right, fine. I don't even want to go there. I'm so sick of the topic. I don't want to do it anymore. Send the emails for me, that's all. Let's go back to rock and roll. Oh, Pakistan. You want me to talk about Pakistan? You want Michael Savage's take on Pakistan? Say all the trouble started when that maniac Bhutto came on the scene. Now, I hope I have the article. Well, she comes from one of the most corrupt families in the history of Pakistan. She plays the victim very much like Hillary Clinton. It's an interesting game. She's a corrupt demagogue who was kicked out of office a number of years ago. Now, Musharraf is no picnic, but he's dealing with a bunch of millions of crazies. Hundreds of millions of crazies. He's got Osama bin Laden hiding in the caves. And he keeps them under control because the only thing that can be done there is a little bit of a dictatorship like he has. This whole idea of give them the vote in democracy is coming out of, like, American universities. It's stupid. It's stupid. They're going to wind up with the equivalent of Hamas in Pakistan with the radicals owning nuclear bombs. What are they thinking? Answer, they're not thinking. Now play at the hop. That's all. Because I'm going to think now what I want to say next. I'm not sure. Wait, I got to find this. There you go. Yeah.
Well, you can rock and you can roll and do the stop and even stroll it at the hop.
It is the rock and roll favorite, Rock and Roll Friday.
Do the dance sensations that are sweeping the nation at the hop. Let's go.
You ever hear a drum piece like that? Where do these guys go? How come they can't play like this anymore?
Let's go to the hop. Mama, let's go to the hop.
All right, turn it off. Now I feel too good. So I was watching the Ken Burns documentary on World War II last night, 7-disc set, and I put in the first disc. I'm going to watch one disc a night, I think, for the next week. And they interview a guy in there, they take a few men and follow him through the war, which is astounding. I mean, it's a piece of work that you can't believe. One of them is a gentleman, probably of a Scandinavian descent. I think his name is Arneson from Minnesota. And they're interviewing him now recently. Remember, the man must be 80 years old. And they show him with stills of him when he was a kid, a farm kid. You know, average lanky white boy, hay, farmer, wagon, drugstore, girlfriend kind of guy, church. So Arneson says that he was basically a pacifist in the 30s. You hear this? Now the guy becomes like one of the great fighter pilots of World War II. And there's an amazing subtext in this whole story that I don't know if Ken Burns brings out. But I'm going to bring it out to you now because I studied this 10 years ago. Many of the fighter pilots of World War II grew up hunting small game and medium-sized game in America. In other words, they used guns, unlike the real estate broker to the stars who was found bludgeoned to death in Manhattan, Linda Stein. You know what I'm saying? In other words, Linda Stein didn't use a gun, and people like her didn't use a gun. People from there didn't use a gun. They're anti-gun. But the boys, like from Minnesota or from Knoxville, Tennessee, or from Pensacola, grew up hunting small game varmints, they call them. And they listen to this. So the pilots that I interviewed years ago, 10 years ago here on this show, they said to me, because we learned how to lead an animal with a rifle, we were able to be good fighter pilots. Now, many of you from New York City and L.A. don't know what lead an animal means. You think it means take a dog on a leash to pee on your neighbor's lawn. No, that's not what lead an animal means. It means that when the animal is running across your field of vision and you want to shoot it, you know, and kill it, you're hunting, you fire in front of the animal because the animal is going to come into the bullet. The bullet doesn't move like it's not like a video game. So he said, because of that, we were good fighter pilots because we knew how to lead the enemy in the ME-109s or the Jap Zeros. You understand this or not? Now, the problem here, here's the problem. The problem here now is we've had a whole generation of boys deprived the joy and the importance of using guns. You understand what I'm saying to you? We're a nation of lambs. We're a nation of lambs getting ready for the slaughter. We have very few lions left in this country because the feminists and the homosexuals have gutted this country's masculinity. And I will say it until the last breath that comes out of me because I know I'm right. I'm 1,000% right. San Diego, Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Michael, I grew up in Queens. I went to Queens College like yourself, and I'm about your age. We've spoken.
Wait, were you on the rifle team?
No, I was not.
Isn't that interesting? How did I wind up on? In fact, if you look in the Jamaica High School yearbook, you see the rifle team, and there I am. I was no great rifle guy, but I remember shooting that Mossberg to this day. In between the boring geometry, I'd go down there and fire the gun. I love the smell of the gunpowder. It woke me up. And by the way, Jay, nobody ran through the halls and shot anybody, incidentally.
That's right. That's right. Michael, you hit a nerve when you said something just before. You said if you were 12 years old and you knew what you knew now. I've often thought that. I'm just wondering, what would you do if you were 12 years old and you knew what you knew now?
Oh, the girls. It just was all about the girls. It was an offhanded comment about the girls.
Okay, I'm with you.
Well, you didn't expect a serious answer from me on that. What could I have done at 12 except what I was doing? What, you say, if I know what I knew now, what could I? How could you have had some knowledge like I know now about the heart and the soul and this and that. I mean, instead of having a beating heart and fainting every time a girl came near me where my knees shook because I was so excited, I would have had a little more control over myself, Jay. That's all.
Yeah, well, I'm 55 and I still have no control over myself. So
Hey, but thank God for Levitra, huh?
Well, it's out there, isn't it, right?
What, your wife's listening?
I hope so.
Oh. But, you know, the truth is, if our father's generation had Viagra and Levitra, they would have lived an extra 20 years.
Well, they would have
in other words, they would have had a reason to stay alive.
Exactly.
All right, thanks. That went over like everything else. 1-800-449-82... You think about it, they say that today's 60 is the last generation's 40. You know, you've heard that. That means what, today's 80-year-old is like that generation's 60-year-old? So where does this end? I mean, how does this end up? How does this all conclude? You figure the average guy then stopped having fun with his body in that area, like when he was like, what, 30? They looked so old, like 35. They had like haberdashers and hats and ties they had to wear. And then like, from the pickles, I think, and the corned beef, the bad food and the lucky strike. Probably by 40, they were no longer sexually active, would be my guess. So naturally, they died at 52. What was there to live for? What, another corned beef sandwich they were going to live for? What was there? There was nothing to live for. But I'm saying in those days, it was different because there was nothing to look forward to. Today, you got to hand it to modern science. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
This is an anti-Viagra song called Come Softly to Me, My Darling.
Come softly, darling.
In fact, this could be the theme song of the National Organization for Women. We didn't know it. Had no idea it was propaganda. Come softly to me. It was a brainwash. I didn't know. All right. Thank you very much. Give him a few whatever, and I'll be right. Now, where am I? I got some callers to take, too. Wow, the show's flying. It's amazing what a Friday can do to you. Oh, I said caponize the whole generation. I looked up the word capon, for those of you who don't know what a capon is. a castrated male chicken. And that comes from the English for a castrated male chicken. That is right above Kappa Regime in the dictionary, which is a lieutenant in a criminal mob. I swear to God. Capon is right above Kappa Regime, Kappa Regime. And above cap pistol. But it's also near capitalism, actually, if you want to get into it. I don't know. There's a relationship. Of course, today, a castrated male chicken would more readily reference Hollywood than anything else. Omaha, Nebraska. Fred, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your complaint? Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing tonight? Don't you think it'd be more productive to engage your ideological opponents in constructive debate rather than the constant villain?
What are you reading from, schmuck? What are you reading from? What'd you read this off the internet? Okay, let me engage you in a constructive argument. What topic would you like to argue over?
You name it. The war. I'm just concerned about your rhetoric. I think it'd be far more constructive to engage.
Well, let's start to engage. Let's engage, Fred. I have millions of people who like my engagement. I guess you're not one of them.
I heard you saying we got nobody in Washington we can trust. I think I agree. I'm a member of the far left. I've given up on the Democrats. I think the Republicans are as corrupt as anyone. So, you know, let's talk about...
No, wait a minute. You mean the Democrats are as corrupt as the Republicans, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't differentiate too much between the two.
All right, so at least we agree on one thing. Where do we disagree?
I know how...
You think radical Islam is not at war with the West, is that right?
I think we need taxpayer-funded elections.
Mr. Wait a minute, sir. Do you allege that radical Islam is not on the march around the world?
I allege that George Bush's policies are enraging it and making an inflation.
I asked you a question. How do you explain Chechnya? Is that because of George Bush? How do you explain the bombs that went off in Bombay? Is that because of George Bush?
Look, Al-Qaeda...
How do you explain the bombs that go off all over the world planted by radical Muslims? Is that all because of George Bush and the Republicans? Wake up, Fred. Wake up, Fred. The radical Islamists are going to hang you just as fast as the next guy. Join the American people, Fred. They're not going to distinguish between you because you are a good communist.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I'll always want you because my heart.
It is Rock and Roll Friday. Kill the song. I don't like it. That's all. Welcome to the Savage Nation. There's a couple of stories. It'd be nice to have an easy day today, but it's not going to happen. I had no arthritis in my life. I'm not 30 years old. I had no arthritis ever in my whole life. Nothing. Zero. My back is perfect, thank God. Not an arthritic joint. I took Lipitor for 2 weeks. My left hand hasn't worked properly since. Do you know that I discontinued a week ago? It's unbelievable. Do you not want to hear what's working? The joints are very sore. My thumb is my opposable thumb hardly works. I can't lift weights. It's hard for me to ride a bicycle. It's unbelievable what that drug did to me. So listen to this. Nothing worked on the joints. They would pop. It was hard for me to open the hand. The thumb still hurts. Do you know what broke the popping? Took down the swelling? Homeopathy, a homeopathic ointment called Arnica, which I've known about for 30 years. Remember, I wrote a book on homeopathy 30 years ago. So you say, well, what do you mean homeopathy? What is that? That's crackpot. Yeah, it's crackpot. It's all crackpot. What I love about the liberals is that everything in alternative medicine they consider wrong and crackpotty, they've all become super, super establishmentarians. Have you noticed this, that the liberals are super establishmentarians, and it's the hardcore conservatives who are very into the alternative medical world and into individualism and individual rights? Have you noticed this change in American society? I'm a keen observer of American society. Now, I don't know if you understand that actually talk radio, if it's good, is about social commentary. I don't know if you understand that. And it is. You have to be a pretty good social analyst to survive in this business. Anyone could do politics, you know, read the They read the 18 papers in the morning, and the next thing is they're a great pundit that evening or that morning. Or they read this, a pundit. That's easy to do. That's baby talk and talk radio. It's the social commentary and weaving it together in a political format that makes for interesting talk radio. Nobody can beat me at it. Nobody. Nobody. I'm the super heavyweight champion of social commentary and radio. Nobody comes near me. Ask anyone who listens. I don't care if they're my detractor. They know I'm better than anybody. But what I'm getting at is, have you noticed that liberals laugh at herbal medicine? They laugh at homeopathy. They laugh at nutrition. They're all gung-ho, all of a sudden, AMA establishment medicine. How did that happen? That only conservatives, we conservatives, understand the value of complementary medicine, which is what it was once called, or alternative medicine, which is what it was once called. How can we understand it in the so-called liberals who are into liberalism and freeing themselves, do not free themselves of the yoke of modern medicine? How come? You have an answer to that one? Because I do, and I understand it very well. I know very well. Here, remember 2 weeks ago I said to you that autism is a phony disease? Do you remember I said that to you? That how could so many children suddenly be an autism epidemic? In my day, if a kid was a troublemaker, he was a troublemaker. If he shot his mouth off in a classroom, he wasn't called autistic. He was called a pain in the neck. They sent him to a special school for pains in the neck. Now he needs medication. He's got autism. Today they've redefined a troublesome children. And now they're calling them autistic all of a sudden. They all have a syndrome. First of all, a lot of it is a racket to collect disability payments from the government, from basically poorer families who found a new way to be parasites on the government, which is if you want to collect a little money and get free medical care, and you want to get the kid to take tests with help, where the answers are given to him before he takes it, just say he's got an illness, ADD, DDD, ASA. To me, there was one disease that they all have. It's called STUPID. That's the main illness most of these kids have. Now you say, well, where do you come up with this? That is so cruel of you, Michael. Guess what? I was right again. MSNBC, which is a super left-wing website, has a new article out called Autism Epidemic May Be All in the Label. You hear this? Do you hear this finally again confirmed? Savage was right again. The Dateline Atlanta by Mike Stobie, Associated Press. A few decades ago, people probably would have said kids like Ryan Massey and Eddie Shuplin were just odd or difficult. Both boys are bright, but Ryan 11 is hyper and prone to angry outbursts. Hey, the kid's a born talk radio show. Sometimes trying to strangle another kid in his class who annoys him. Maybe he's a born martial artist. Eddie 7 has a strange habit of sticking his shirt in his mouth and sucking on it. He's an idiot. That's a different story. Prone to angry outbursts and hyper means he's probably going to be a good, either a lawyer or a good talk show host. Sometimes trying to strangle another kid, he's got to control it. He'd probably be a good martial artist or a good ring fighter. The brother, though, hopeless. Sticking his shirt in his mouth and sucking on it, finished. Nothing will help him. Give him as many shirts as he wants. Both were diagnosed with a form of autism. And it's probably because of children like them that autism appears to be skyrocketing. The latest estimate is that 1 in 150 children have some form of this. That's bullcrap! There's not that many children. What it is, it's a racket. It's the drug companies trying to sell a disease. And the American Academy of Pediatrics, I gotta tell you, the sickest doctors in the country is the American Academy of Pediatrics. They want every child screened by the age of 2. Put them on this, put them on that. See, there was a time that pediatricians were the lowest earning doctors in the constellation of MDs because they didn't prescribe drugs. Then they got the idea that they could become just like the other drug peddlers in the medical industry. If they could find diseases that they could sell, peddle drugs to, whoa, now they have it. So there's your answer. I see it all through the lens of clarity, period. Autism has always been diagnosed by making judgments about a child's behavior. There are no blood or biologic tests. For decades, the diagnosis was given only to kids with severe language and social impairments and unusual repetitious behaviors. Okay, fine. Many children with severe autism hit themselves or others, didn't speak, and didn't make eye contact. Sounds like most liberals I've known. Most of the kids in Marin County sound like that. They hit themselves with marijuana once a day, or they hit themselves with a spike at night, or they hit themselves, they don't speak. They don't. They're like, and they don't make eye contact. Absolutely born liberals. Here's another 8 years, been in a day program with intense service, still doesn't talk. He's not toilet trained. 19 years old? He's not toilet trained? And he has a history of trying to eat anything, even broken glass? My friends, that is not autism. That's insanity. He belongs in a mental hospital. That's what they were built for. Poor, unfortunate children like this so that they can get the proper care that they need. They're not autistic. They need a mental hospital with attendance. So now, there it is. Now we got a spectrum of so-called illnesses. Autism. They're mentally retarded. It's a sad thing. It's not anything to laugh at. It's not something to laugh at, but stop diagnosing every idiot, moron, stupid kid with a disease to give them a justification. If they're born with some kind of developmental disability, by all means, have compassion for them. But stop treating them as though they can all act normally. Many of them can never be normal. You say, well, oh, you use the dirty word there, normal. Huh? How dare you say normal? Well, what's the norm? Define the norm, savage. Well, I'll define the norm. Someone who doesn't eat glass. Someone who doesn't swallow his T-shirt. Somebody who doesn't bang his head against the wall. Does that get you going on the right track or not?
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Play Honey Love. I'm going to do this. We're going to do the select. The guys picked rock and roll for Friday for me. I'm sure I won't like any of them. Let's listen to Honey Love by the Drifters. We'll go down the list. Kill It. I Hate It. Next. I Want to Be the Leader by the Marcells.
I want to be the leader of the group.
I'm off the show. I voiced like that, no leader. Lily Maybell by the Valentines. All right, give the kids a contract. Give them a good contract. Give them $50 a piece. This is good. It'll be a hit. Starting to sound like Howie Rosenberg in the record industry in 1950 in New Jersey. You can tell this would have been a hit. All right, that's good. Now let's hear Zoom by the Cadillacs. Make believe I'm a record producer.
Zoom, when the strings of my heart.
It's a follow-up tune. It'll sell half of their first song, but all right. I don't want to see him in here again. This is the last song they'll ever do. After this is the Vegas and Reno shunt. Let me hear the Surfing Bird by the Trashmen.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Yeah, this will work with the geeks down in Alabama. That'll be good. See, I would use this for a sound effect with a helicopter gunship over Ramadi. Play it loud. Imagine this now. A loaded gunship, incendiary devices. And George Bush has taken a one-year vacation as commander-in-chief. He's riding his mountain bike somewhere. And they put a general in charge of the soldiers instead of a politician. No. Yeah, well, you could use it. No, this is not it. Turn that off. Turn that off. The best rendition of what should have been played. Do you remember that movie where they played the music when they were flying in Vietnam? What was that, Beowulf? And they flew in the... Yeah, now that was pretty good, but Coppola picked right music, The Flight of the Valkyries in Apocalypse Now with the helicopter gunship. But, you know, we can update it a little bit. Now, what if we unleashed our fighting men in the way they're trained to fight and win this thing? George Bush takes about a six-month mountain bike vacation. Let's say he goes from Washington to Florida, and he waves, then he goes to Mexico for a few months and tunes up on the Spanish, and they leave the war to the generals. I would say within like 3 days we win the war in Iraq. You get 100 or 200 helicopters, Apache helicopters, loaded with Gatling guns and incendiary devices. And now picture them flying at dawn with the rising sun behind them into Ramadi with one of these Rammstein tunes blasting in the ears of the guys in the helicopters. Let me hear one of the Rammstein tunes. I want to just visualize this. Okay, that's so right. Yeah, even though it's in German, I don't care what you think. How's that? Take your fears and shove them.
Stein. Deine Größe macht mich.
Too slow for this. No, wouldn't work. It's too slow. The cadence is too slow. We need a faster one. Give me something faster that would go with a helicopter, killing the enemy in Ramadi and killing the Sadr army. No, too slow. But you get the picture. Visualize 500 helicopters flying into Sadr City and that fat pile of offal who continuously threatens up. One day I'm on with the Mahdi army, the next day I'm calling them off, the next day it's on, the next day it's off. Why is he breathing? Why is he breathing? Because the generals are not being allowed to kill him, as would have been done several years ago in any other war. That'd be like keeping Himmler alive. Or Goebbels alive, who's saying, well, Americans, we're going to kill you. One day we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. If you don't do this, we're going to kill you. How long would he have lived if we had him in our sights? Answer, he wouldn't have lived too long. But then again, we didn't have an MBA running the war then. The question is, where do we, the people, where do we turn at a time like this? There are many reactions to this kind of threat. North Korea, Iran, the Sunnis in Iraq, the Russian machinations, the China machinations, the enemies within our own Congress and Senate who are working with our enemy for profit prior to the war. It's not the first time in history that a political class would have sold a nation out for profit until the last minute. It's happened in virtually every war. And I can give you one example after another if you want to go into that. I mean, and I have, I don't know where to begin. I know where to begin. I know where to begin. You know, I'll give you a gross example. Henry Ford building trucks for the Nazi war machine right until the late 1930s. It wasn't that he was a Nazi. He was a good businessman. In other words, he was a globalist at that time. He was doing business in Europe. One of his customers was Germany. They wanted trucks built for their military. And he went further. He converted the truck line into a Panzer tank line. The Panzer tanks were built by Henry Ford in the late part of the 1930s. You say, well, was he evil? No, he was a businessman. That's just exactly the problem. We have the same exact mentality today. People doing business with the dragon, people doing business with the bear, people doing business with the leopard, people doing business with the tiger, people doing business with the python, people doing business with the anaconda, people doing business with the black widow, because they want to take it all in while they can, and all at the same time wrapping themselves in the flag. So there's nothing new under the sun. It'll all come to a head. It'll all come to a head. It's going to come to a gigantic blowout. You know, I went to dinner. Let me just back up for a minute. There are many ways to deal, I was saying to you, with the stress that we're living through. And make no mistake about it. The stress that you hear in me and my exhaustion, my ennui, it's not boredom by any means. It's being on the front lines of this every day and not being able to take your mind off it or your eyes off the ball. It can wear you out. And I'm not complaining. I don't have to do this. I'm doing it because I love it. And I have an obligation to my audience, okay? Don't get me wrong now. I'm not complaining to you. But there are ways to react to a continuous stress. People go into different states when a country is in this kind of stress. Some will exercise more. Some will watch more sports. Some will engage in more trivial activities. I 100 different things you're going to wind up doing to get your mind off something you have no control over. That's the utter reality. We're in a nation that's so individualistic that it's a state of anarchy. We're all such individuals that we live in a state of constant anarchy. And many of us scream for more control from a centralized government, whether you know it or not. That's a strange statement, isn't it? Many of us beg for more controls over the media, for example. We want the Wolf Blitzers to stop it. We want the New York Times to stop this undermining of America, the family, the war. We're screaming for this kind of thing. We feel it. I hear the gestalt. I hear the scream, the primal scream of the American people. So there's 100 different things that you're going to do. You're going to engage in some kind of retroactivities. I'll bet many of you have regressed emotionally in some ways. If I did an hour on that right now, I bet you many of you would be glad to confess to Father Savage that you have found yourself as a grown man or a grown woman regressing in some ways. And you don't know why. That you've slipped back in some of your behaviors. And I don't mean to go into, anything lewd here. I mean, whatever the behaviors may be, you find yourself almost adolescent in your behaviors all over again. And you don't know why you're doing it. It's because you're frightened. You're terrified. The world is not what it was a few years ago. On one hand, it's a great world. It's a Technicolor world. It's a Disney world. It's a world of eternal promise. On the other hand, it's a film noir where any moment something could come out of the side of the screen and strangle you or shoot you or blow up your whole world. And so you're living in a duality here. And so it's a stress, and you don't know, you know, people are doing a lot of different things to relate to it. But make no mistake about it. I went to dinner last night with two men, one of whom is one of my two military advisors. Let me put it to you that way. I have two military advisors for the Savage Nation, and they're real good. They're not MRTHA. Let me put it to you that way. They're not MRTHA. Let's put it to you that way. The other gentleman was a medical person, the dean of a medical school visiting from the East. He was a friend of the military guy. So I took them to a restaurant in the Italian district of San Francisco, the North Beach area, an older restaurant I used to eat in years ago. It was very nice, and I enjoyed the meal a lot. Quiet, very old-fashioned, an old bar, you know, not frequented, not screaming, yelling, da-da-da-da-da. Older Italian kind of food, older-style Italian food. So I'm going to just digress a little bit. Pardon me. I'm talking story here, you know. This is what I do. I talk story. I tell it my own way. I'm not desperate to move on here. I think you like it. I don't know. I have to do it my way. Anyway, so I'm moving on. So I said to the guy, you know, I can't eat any of you. Normally I eat calamari or fish. That's why I'm still living. Let's be frank. You know, I wrote the book on nutrition. I started writing books on health in 1970. I wrote the book on it. I know how to eat. That's why I'm still living with my inheritance and whatnot, my genetic inheritance. Now I'm eating only meat. I can't eat fish. I can't eat calamari. I can't eat shrimp. Can't eat any of the things I love because I react to it. So I'm back to meat and potatoes, in other words, the diet that killed all my ancestors. but I don't get a reaction. The face doesn't turn red. So I said, look, I want the veal. I want the veal piccata, but I have a question for you. How many medallions do you put in this plate for $22? He says, oh, man, a lot, you know, 6, 7, 8. I said, good, because I went to a place, I know the guy 20 years, he gives me 3 medallions of veal. And I said to the waitress last week in this joint I go to, charge me more, man, but put food in the plate. What's with 3 medallions the size of a silver dollar each? You know me 20 years. I said, I whispered to the waitress, I said, you know, there's more meat in a hamburger in Carl's Jr. than there is in what you're serving it for $18. She said, I know it. So a lot of, you know, and it,
warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I rarely go to the movies. I went to see American Gangster. It stunk. I couldn't take it. I walked out after 90 minutes. Now, if American Gangster, I like gangster movies. It's one of my favorite genres. My favorite are English gangster movies. They do them better than the Americans. I mean, I've enjoyed The Godfather. I've enjoyed Casino, Goodfellas. I've enjoyed them up to a point. But this one, if it was made for TV, it would be a passable movie for a television set. But filled with Denzel Washington and the gladiator himself, Russell Crowe, it was awful. The only thing I enjoyed about it was the early 70s set up in Harlem and New York and New Jersey. That was interesting. There was no character depth whatsoever. I mean, if you can believe that Russell Crowe is a New York detective, then you virtually can believe that that Hillary Clinton would make a good president. And, you know, what is it about? It's about a black guy who eliminates the middleman and becomes the major domo in distributing 100% pure heroin from Vietnam. He bypasses the Italian mafia, supposedly, and he goes to Vietnam itself and deals with the warlords back in the jungle of Vietnam, a little bit of, Coppola's movie, Apocalypse Now, Upriver, blah, blah, blah. You know, there was Wesley, whatever his name is, Ridley Scott, borrowed from every movie ever made for this one. And he gets the heroin, and it comes in coffins, you know, transported by corrupt military police and generals and blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the movie, everyone is happy and high-fiving each other, the black drug dealer and the white cop. And the moral that we're offered in this movie is that corrupt cops are bad and get punished rightly, while Frank Lucas is a cold-blooded killer, a torturer, a crime lord, a heroin importer, who flooded America with her heroin, is a likable guy with a bit of a temper who only has to serve a measly 15 years, having had his sentence reduced from 70 years. Surprise, surprise, because the Crow character turns defense lawyer. It's unbelievable. But that's Hollywood. It was aimed strictly at the 12 to 13-year-old kid. The moral of the story is go out and make a good living as a drug dealer, and you two could end up as a hero. Now, it tries to become a full-blown gangster movie, but I couldn't follow it. The scenes were jumping around. It was like jumping here, jumping there. Nothing was connected. One scene to the next, there was virtually no connection. And you sit there and you expect a plot twist, but it never happens. I lasted about an hour and a half, then I went for Japanese food. The sushi was better than the movie. And maybe I missed something, but I couldn't take it. I mean, I'll watch it in full when I get the DVD, if somebody sends it to me. But thumbs down, Teddy gives it a zero poor review. Do not see American Gangster unless you hate cops and love drug dealers. And I suggest you go if you particularly hate good movies. A real bomb. Do not go see it. Then there's another movie out, and that movie was called Lions for Lambs, directed by the American-hating Robert Redford. It contains a couple of characters. A liberal journalist played by the anti-American Meryl Streep, interviewing a hawkish Republican senator played by Tom Cruiser, and, of course, the hip California professor is played by Robert the Red himself. And there's two soldiers are stranded on a snowy mountaintop in Afghanistan. And, of course, they're both black because, as you know, the liberals in Hollywood say that it's all blacks fighting the war in Iraq. Tell that to Lieutenant Colonel Chassani, who's facing a court-martial. So far as I know, the only people who face court-martials in Iraq are white Marines. If I'm incorrect on that, then correct me with the details. The best review on this is called Sheep Shots by Kyle Smith, my favorite reviewer in the New York Post. And he says, I went to a wartime thriller, but then a poli-sci 101 seminar broke out, which is very funny. He said, the last time I was stuck in a political science class listening to a beardy guy of about 32 tell me that racists could never be free because they were imprisoned by their prejudices, news I can use, hearing liberal fantasies was costing me about $800 a minute. So an $11 ticket to Lions for Lambs is a relative bargain. This guy's a great writer. And he says, the lion's share of the screen time goes to the boring buying in California and D.C. The Streep Cruise discussion scales new heights in Mount Banal. Apparently, Hollywood is so dumb it thinks it can be called incisive simply by having two people hit the talking points we've all seen on every TV news roundtable for the last 4 years, and so forth and so on. So those are two movies that you don't need. 1-800-449-8255. The anti-war movies are bombing. The reason the anti-war movies are bombing is not so much because they're boring, it's because they're anti-American and anti-military. And that the schmucks in Hollywood, the putzes in Hollywood, don't even understand that the Nazis and the Islamists are one and the same and come from the same exact fountain of hatred. And what's amazing to me is that the lunatic schmucks in Hollywood don't understand that the enemy is radical Islam, and radical Islam is directly related to the Nazis they hate so much. And yet they have sympathy for the radical Islamists. Sympathy, they hate Hitler, of course. They know he was a bad guy. But they don't understand that Hitler and the Arabs were good friends in World War II, and that the Islamists and Hitler stem from the same root of hatred of the West, of Jews, of Christians, etc. Now, what I want to do is talk about why these anti-war movies are bombing. Thank God the American people are showing the power they have with their money, and they're not going to this slimy crap put out by this crop of 60s hippies vermin who have taken over the film business. What a disgrace this generation of garbage is in Hollywood when you compare it to the past generations that were 100% gung-ho American compared to this filth, this left-wing crap with their Gulfstream jets. Let them all leave the country as far as I'm concerned. Now, a few of them bombed big time. I pray that this Robert Redford fruitarian, I hope his movie goes up in flames and he's homeless in the streets of Vail. Let me show you some of the big bombs. Rendition, a drama starring the loser Reese Witherspoon and Jake Gyllenhaal about the CIA's policy of interrogation of terror suspects, has grossed only $10 million at the box office, a disaster for them. And then there's the so-called Oscar-winning director Paul Haggis and his film In the Valley of Elah about a father investigating the death of his son in Iraq, right? It earned good reviews from the other communist fellow travelers, but earned only $7 million after its release in September. Then there was the action-packed The Kingdom, starring Jamie Foxx and Jennifer Garner. It fell below its $70 million budget. It cost $70 million to make this anti-American screed, but it only sold $47 million worth of tickets. Now comes out Robert Redford's piece of garbage, Lions for Lambs. And I got to tell you, when that trailer came on with Meryl Streep, that anti-war nut, the Scientologist lunatic playing in the movie, and Robert Redford himself in it, I started to scream out, boo, and two anti-war libs turn around and say, grow up, and I said, drop dead, you liberal scum. Well, of course, it was didn't go anywhere because it is Marin County. But you know something? I can't take it anymore. These anti-war Hollywood Islamo-fascist lovers just don't understand America. And conversely, Ken Burns' documentary, which I had Ken Burns on the show, which was a great interview, I watched the first of the DVDs. There's a 6 or 7 disc set. And I'll tell you, if it doesn't move you, you're dead. I mean, that DVD's flying off the shelves because it tells a real story about a real war through the eyes of real heroes and real people, and it shows you how it affected everyone from Main Street up and down the line. The only part of the first disc I got to warn you about in Ken Burns' documentary is it focuses too much, in my opinion, on the internment of the Japanese Americans. I thought they spent far too much time on that, and I know they had to do it for political reasons, but frankly, I think it threw off the whole series. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Any topic is not fair game. Let's go to Mike, WOR. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, after I'm done making my comment, let me just tell you who you remind me of out of every American figure in political history. But the movie The Kingdom, when I went in there to see that, although I could intelligently discern the message that was being portrayed underneath everything, I had so much hatred for not Islam, but for the Islamic fundamentalists and for jihadists coming out of that film than I've ever had at any point in my life. So I think it did the opposite of what they were trying
well,
to do.
Well, duh. They blew up the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. They blew up the coal. They killed hundreds of Marines. They're killing people all over the world, and yet they tell us they're a religion of peace, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing this garbage. I'm just sick of it. I won't take it anymore. I don't care how many times they try to boycott me. I'm going to boycott them until I get the federal government to investigate CAIR. They're a front group for radical Islam, as sure as I'm sitting here.
Absolutely. Michael, let me tell you, I was thinking last week when I was listening to you, that out of every political figure in American history, you remind me of an incarnation of Thomas Jefferson.
Well, that's very nice, but I'm from the Bronx. He was from Williamsburg, Virginia.
I understand, but I feel that your philosophies and you both being deists and having a kind of like a spiritual overview of the world.
Well, if Thomas Jefferson were alive today, what would they call him? Tell me what the liberals would call Thomas Jefferson today. Racist, homophobic, Islamophobic. Is that what they call Thomas Jefferson? The Founding Fathers would be accused of committing a hate crime if they try to warn America about what state we're in with the dunces running everything, catering to these rats. Catering to these rats. You heard what went on in L.A. today? The FBI and the LAPD, rather the LAPD, plans to map Muslim communities in order to get a grip on where the terrorists are liable to strike from. And right on cue, the vermin from the ACLU joined the vermin from CAIR and said that it's racial profiling. Now, if you were to map where terrorist events were likely to come from, would you start by mapping churches or would you start by mapping mosques?
Well, if it was up to the ACLU, they'd start by mapping out synagogues and houses of worship.
Well, when are we going to stand up and arrest the ACLU leadership and put them away before they kill us all? We're not going to win this war. We're losing it, by the way. We're not. Never mind who's winning. We're losing. We're so far behind, I don't know how we can win this game. And we're losing. We're losing because of the ACLU. We're losing because of CAR. We're losing because of the rat vermin in the media. We're losing because anybody like me who stands up to these rats, these bums, these killers, is declared an enemy of the state. And I'm not going to stop. You're never driving me off the air. I'll put you in a federal prison before you drive me off the air. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Now, in Italy, where they still have a pair of you-know-what between their legs, they've just passed a law to kick out undesirable immigrants after an admiral's wife was raped and murdered in a brutal sex attack by a gypsy. Now, you won't read the word gypsy in the story. You'll read the word Romanian. You have to read the entire story to get through the PC garbage and rubbish, the honey and the glue put out by the morons who write today, until you find out that the string of attacks in Italy blamed on Romanians, which has finally caused the country to stand up and show that they're still alive. The camp that she was dragged into and raped was used by Romanians and gypsies. Romanians and gypsies. So Italy has passed a law to kick out undesirable migrants after admiral's wife dies in brutal sex attack. Now, they, of course, are hiding who did it. This woman was raped near her home in northern Rome. She was hit several times with a stone as she walked home. She was then dragged into the undergrowth where she was sexually assaulted before being left for dead. Italian state radio said that the Italian woman was taken off life support today after tests showed that her brain activity had ceased. Consequently, the Italian police raided a camp where Nicolai Romulus Melet lived. And the police searched the 25-year-old rundown cardboard and wood shack where he lived, and they found Mrs. Reggiani's handbag, and last night he was in custody. As part of the crackdown, Italy's Prime Minister Romano Prodi said the government had passed a law which would allow local authorities to expel immigrants with a history of violence. He said, "We will do what we must do to make sure these acts don't happen again." Gianfranco Fini of the right-wing National Alliance Party welcomed the expulsion decree, but said it should also cover jobless immigrants. Romania's prime minister told Italian state TV Thursday night that he backed the Italian government's expulsion decree. Violent Romanians will be sent home without hesitation, Premier Calin Popescu Tarasenu said in an interview with Italian TV. We need firm and energetic measures to stop this phenomenon, the Romanian premier said. Now, here's the punchline of this story. Although the free movement of EU citizens within the 27 member nations is a cornerstone of EU policy, countries still have the right to keep certain people out if they're deemed dangerous. I can't wait till a communist lawyer says he's not really dangerous. He was just an underprivileged Romanian who was not given an equal opportunity in racist Italy. Had only he been given a new Mercedes-Benz and a Palazzo, why, then he wouldn't have had to rape the admiral's wife. He would have married her. I'm waiting for that one to occur. Well, there are some follow-up topics, since you don't want to talk about Romanians in Italy and raping admirals' wives and killing them, and what that means for America, where we have a rape epidemic amongst illegal aliens, a drunk driving epidemic amongst certain migrant groups from certain countries. It's part of the national sport, is getting drunk and driving in their home country. That's what they do. It used to be said that Australians had a national sport of puking on car fenders, and that was considered a joke, and people laughed at it. But you wouldn't be able to say that blank in Blankico, the national sport is getting drunk and running people over, particularly bicyclists, because that would be unwelcoming. You don't want to be unwelcoming and exclusionist. What you want to be is inclusive. And if the inclusiveness includes rapists, murderers, drunk drivers, terrorists, well, that's so much the better. In other words, you go to bed feeling good that you are an inclusive human being.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Now, go on to michaelsavage.com. There's a very important article from the Washington Times called Nazis and Islamists. You must read the article. I can't paraphrase it for you. And it shows you the direct link between Hitler and the current flock of Islamists who flew planes into the World Trade Center. Okay? Read it. There's another important story, how Clinton destroyed Serbia and paved the way for radical Islam. I'll read you the opening paragraph from Der Spiegel. The Dayton Peace Accords called for the removal of foreign combatants from Bosnia after the Balkans War. But hundreds of Mujahideen fighters stayed, and today they are successfully spreading their fundamentalist Islamist views. And by the way, they built a very large mosque in Sarajevo with Saudi money. What's strange here is that the Muslims of Bosnia were rather peaceful for a very long period of time, and the Islamists are trying to turn them back to 7th century Muslim beliefs. There's a fight going on in Bosnia between modern Muslims and the throwbacks being funded by Saudi Arabia. And the throwbacks are using violence against the moderate Muslims, who sometimes drive by the throwbacks and wave beer bottles at them to say, "You're not turning the clock back on us." But Saudi Arabia is funding this Wahhabi sect of cancer. This cancerous Islamic sect of Wahhabism is being spread around the world right here in America. They fund CAIR. Make no mistake about who they are. Make no mistake about it. Now, it is only a matter of time until the government finally recognizes that they're not going to win this battle through rhetoric alone. It is only a matter of time until you, the listener, realize that you're losing the war. The Muslims are winning the war. The Muslims who are radical are winning the war. And by the way, CAIR has been quoted, the head of it, as saying, "Sure, I'd like to see Sharia law in America." He's not going to force it down your throat. He said he's going to do it by slow increments. They're winning. They're winning. Now, during World War II, the Nazis worked on plans to build the America bomber, and it was an airplane specifically devised to fly suicide missions into Manhattan skyscrapers, says the article Nazis and Islamists by Paul Berlin. Albert Speer, the Nazi minister for armaments, recalled in his diary, quote, "It was almost as if Hitler was in a delirium when he described to us how New York would go up in flames. He imagined how the skyscrapers would turn into huge blazing torches, how they would crumble while the reflection of the flames would light the skyline against the dark sky. You see," he writes, "Hitler hated Manhattan. It was because," he said, "the center of world Jewry." Less than 60 years later, Hitler's plans were executed by Muslim immigrants living in Germany. At the 2003 trial of the network around Mohammed Atta, the pilot who flew into the WTC, Shahid Nichols, a German convert to Islam and a friend of Atta, said that the Islamists had targeted Manhattan because, quote, "It is the center of world Jewry and the world of finance and commerce controlled by it." The parallels between Nazism and Islamism are overwhelming, yet the subject is a taboo. When last March the German historian Matthias Kunzel, author of Jihad and Jew Hatred, Islamism, Nazism, and the Roots of 9/11, was to give a lecture at the University of Leeds in Britain, the university authorities canceled the lecture after threats from Muslim students. He then goes on in the article and says, "There is a war going on between the jihadists and the West. We are losing the battle because, as so often in man's history, our political leaders think that they're still fighting the previous war. Europeans who warn against the danger of Islamism are considered and sometimes even prosecuted as xenophobes, racists, and even neo-Nazis." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm warning you that you're losing the war against radical Islam. They're putting the noose around your neck, and they're tightening it.